In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Christ is in our midst.
He is in our side.
I didn't even know I was going to be giving this sermon until Wednesday afternoon. So bear with me. I had a little bit after I found out I was giving this sermon. I read the gospel several times, looked at several different versions, and wasn't really getting much of what I would call an inspiration. So I sent out a few emails to a few friends and sent out a prayer request on Facebook and other places asking for prayers. And not only did I get prayers, I got a lot of suggestions back as to what I should do, none of which moved me terribly that much. And on Friday, I went over to my sister's house for my second Thanksgiving, and I ran into her mother-in-law, whom I haven't seen for about 2 years. And the first thing that she said to me was, where's your cane? You're not carrying your cane around anymore. And I said, I no longer carry cane around. I carry Abel around with me. I'm a little bit stronger than I was a couple of years ago. And so someone mentioned to her that I was still working on this sermon. And she pointed out the obvious to me. She said, who better than you will know how to explain what it was like for this woman to be, who was bent over for 18 years of her life to the people. And it was like, you know, the light bulb came on. Oh yeah, yeah, that was my life for even more than 18 years, for close to 20 years. That was my life. It was bent over. So if you will indulge me for a little bit, I'm going to share with you a little bit of what it's like to be essentially a handicapped person, even in our enlightened age and in the era of the Americans with Disability Act and even things like that. After many years of back surgeries, 6 back surgeries, a couple of knee surgeries, at least 20 nerve blocks in my back, I ended up with several things. Chronic pain all the time, which I endured by medicating, self-medicating, again and again, until I was taking handfuls of pills at the time. And that not only covered up that pain, but it caused a new pain. It caused addiction. And so I was oppressed down with that addiction for several years until finally, by the grace of God, I was freed from that and have been for about 12, 14 years now. But because of that, a lot of things happened. Because I still had the chronic pain but could no longer take pain pills anymore, I had to learn to live with that. And things got quite difficult. It got very difficult, as a matter of fact. And eventually, I got to where I couldn't move very much at all. Just walking across this room, I'd have to sit down 2 or 3 times. In my trailer, I had my kitchen chairs lined up throughout the trailer so that I could sit down every 10 or 12 feet. Because I literally had to. I was essentially bent over like the woman in the gospel today. And everything I had to do in my life was a reminder to me that I was sick in both body and soul. And I was different because of the condition that I was in. I couldn't do things that other people do. My brother once gave me tickets to go see Grease when it was passing through Birmingham, the Broadway play with my daughter. And I didn't get to go because I drove down there and I saw that the closest parking place that I could possibly get was going to be much farther than I could walk to get to there. So I had to give the tickets to someone else to take her. So I didn't get to do things like that. Going to the grocery store was an ordeal. If I didn't get the first or second parking place on in the handicapped area, I'd turn around and go back home because it was too far to walk. And if I did get that parking place, thank God for those little buggies. For 5 years, I rode those buggies throughout the store. And when I finally was able to stand up again and go to the store as an upright person again, the store looked so small to me because it looked so big when I was down here at the third grade level, or at the five-year-old level. And suddenly when I was standing upright again, the store looked rather small to me again. I noticed things like that. But I thank God for those buggies. But the store seemed so big. And even though I was big, I gained 200 pounds during this time because I couldn't cook anything, and so all I did was go through the drive-thru. and get food that had lots of calories but no nutrition. So I would go to this grocery store when I could, and people would look at me. They would see this huge man riding around on this buggy, and with their eyes you would see the judgment. Look at that man. He had no self-control at all. How could he eat so much? Not knowing that in general I probably ate less than they did, but everything I ate was wrong and full of calories. But the judgment was there. I was different. And that's exactly how this woman felt. And even though I was usually the biggest person in any room I went into, I felt very small. I felt very small. I was literally and spiritually and metaphorically bent over like this woman in the gospel today. The woman was going through the same thing. St. Luke tells us, and this is the quote from the gospel, that she was bent over and in no way could raise herself up again. She had a spirit of infirmity. And then the Lord himself goes on to say that this woman was bound by Satan for 18 years. And the Greek word for bound meant literally to be chained up like an animal. She was bound for 18 years by the spirit of infirmity. Now the general belief among the Jews of that time, both the educated, the theologians, and the man on the street, was that if you were handicapped, if you had a deformity, or if you had a chronic illness, you had it because you were a sinner. You had it because of your sins. And although that's really nowhere to be found in the Old Testament scriptures, we can see many places in the New Testament where we can see that people actually believe that. The apostles themselves came up to the Lord one day when he saw the man who was born blind. And they said to the Lord, "Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born that way?" And the Lord said, "No, no one sinned, but he has his blindness so that the glory of the Lord can be shown through it." And that same man, when he was healed, the Pharisees and the scribes came up and they were questioning him about Jesus. And when he finally got tired of the Pharisees asking him the questions, he said to them, "What, do you want to become his disciple too?" And they said, "How dare you speak to us that way, you who were born in sin so much that you are blind." So that was the common thinking of the day. That if you had a sickness, a chronic illness, or a handicap, you did it. You were that way because you were a sinful person, more sinful than anyone else. Now on the general level, they were correct about that, because all sickness is the result of the fall. It is the result of sin, the sin of mankind. But individual sickness, our Lord tells us, is not the result of one's sinfulness, although it can be. St. Cyril of Alexandria, who is echoing the words of St. Paul in one of his epistles, says that God does allow Satan to afflict certain people at certain times with illnesses in order that he may bring them to repentance, or in order that the glory of God may be shown when the person is healed. But the ruler of the synagogue in today's gospel and the Jews of the time in general, they were simply just being judgmental when they saw a person like someone who had leprosy or this woman who was bent over. They did not know what was in the heart of anyone. They were just being judgmental about things. But the Lord Jesus Christ did know what was in the heart of this woman, and he knew that she did have sin in her life, that she was bound by Satan, as he himself told us. But rather than judging her as unworthy, he calls her to himself. She didn't seek him out. He called her. And he called her a daughter of Abraham, who was worthy of being unbound, of having her chains removed, the ropes of infirmity that held her down, both literally and figuratively, to the ground. And so he healed this woman. He healed her with a word, from the word from his lips, "Be healed," and with a touch of his hand. And it was the touch of his hand that caused all the problems in the minds of the Pharisees today. They felt that by touching her, he was committing an act of work, and thereby he was breaking the Sabbath rest in their eyes. And Christ probably did it in order to show them how hypocritical they were being. The Pharisees, they always complain when the Lord healed anybody, if you notice it, if you read the Gospels. But they especially complain when he healed on the Sabbath. And if you read the Gospels in their entirety, you see that he did that a lot. This was not a one-time thing. When he healed, when they lowered the man who was sick of the palsy through the roof and dropped him on the floor in front of Christ, Christ healed him and told him to take up his bed and walk. That was on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees got mad at him. When he healed the man who had a withered hand, that too was on the Sabbath. And they took the Lord to task for it. The woman in the gospel today bent over the Sabbath. Just a few verses after our gospel today, later on in chapter 14 of St. Luke, he's going to heal a man that the gospel says was sick with something called dropsy. And that too was on the Sabbath day. And he was always taken to task for it by the Pharisees. These same Pharisees who sang the psalm, the Palaeoleos song that we sing at every matin service, that over and over again says, "For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy endureth forever." They sang that psalm every single day, but yet they got indignant when the mercy of God was being shown to this woman today on the Sabbath. "How dare Jesus heal this woman on the Sabbath?" they said. "Couldn't he at least wait until sundown?" That was ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous even for us to hear it, but they said it because they had made an idol. They had made an idol out of the Mosaic law, and they used this idol that they had built in order to strangle mercy, to strangle love, to strangle compassion out of the law, which is really the reason the law was there in the first place, to promote those very things, mercy, love, and compassion. So Christ exposes this. He calls out this Pharisee, this ruler of the synagogue today, and he calls him a hypocrite. He said, "Do you not unloose your oxen and your ass from the stable and lead him out to water on the Sabbath? How then, why do you not want this daughter of Abraham to be loosed, to be unchained from the things that held her bound, to be unchained from the bounds of Satan?" St. Ambrose of Milan tells us that Jesus, by telling us this today, shows us that worldly work, yes, should be refrained from on the Lord's Day, on our new Sabbath day. But not religious work, and certainly not the work of mercy. Not only is it allowed, it is encouraged, and it is expected that we show works of mercy on the Sabbath day. St. Cyril of Jerusalem says that the ungrateful synagogue ruler, first seeing this woman creeping along on the ground, but now standing upright by the touch of Christ, he sullies his zeal for the law by his own envy. He looked on her as a lesser being than his own beast, unworthy of being loosed by God on any day, not only on the Sabbath day. And he was put to shame by the words of Christ. This woman, who was a sinner, whose physical and bent over appearance mirrored her spiritual state as well, received healing from Christ today by his words and by his touch. But the ruler of the synagogue, St. Augustine tells us, he was really the one who was bent over. He was the one that was being pulled down to the earthly things and away from heavenly things. And he was unable to see heaven standing right before him in the man, our Lord Jesus Christ. But the woman who was bent over, by the very fact that she came to that synagogue today, despite her condition, despite being judged everywhere she went, she still came to that synagogue time and again, and she was able to see heaven standing before her in our Lord Jesus Christ. This reading is one that we don't get very often in the church. Usually we have the same readings year after year, Sunday after Sunday. This reading we only get when Pascha comes early, like it did this year, so we have a couple extra weeks before Christmas, before we start getting into the Nativity readings. So when we do get this reading, it's either during this fasting period or the first or second week right after Christmas. But we only get it every few years or so. We don't get it every now and then. And I think the church gives us this reading during this time of the year for two reasons. First, I think to teach us that during this Nativity season, we are to show mercy to those who are more infirm and unfortunate than we are in both soul and body. That we are to be a Christ. That we are to be Christ to those who are in need and to offer his love to anyone who comes our way as much as we are able to. And I think the second reason that we have this reading given to us during what is essentially a Lenten fasting season is that so we do not let our Lenten efforts, our fasting, our abstinence, the things that we do more during Lenten seasons, that we do not make an idol out of it. The Pharisee judged everyone. He kept all the laws perfectly, but he negated all the good he did by doing that, by judging everyone. And unfortunately, we Orthodox, especially in our zeal to keep the canons and do things right and be Orthodox, correct doing, we sometimes become what one of my classmates used to call the canonical police. You know, we look to see who's, you know, she keeps it better than he does, and he's certainly not as good as I do. And we become a judge. Judge, jury, and unfortunately sometimes executioner as well. So we are given this reading today to where the Lord calls out this Pharisee and calls him a hypocrite in order to keep us from judging those who are not keeping the laws of the church as well as we are, or who sometimes sin in a different way than we often sin as well. And when we do that, we become bent over. We become bound to earthly things. And as St. Gregory the theologian says, we are unable to look up to heaven because we are bent down. He says, when we pursue base things, things that are not of Christ, then we become crooked. We become crooked, bent over. And then he says, habitual sin, when we sin without even thinking about it, that binds down our mind and we cannot rise up to righteousness, he says. The holy prophet Isaiah prophesied about 600 years before the birth of Christ concerning the coming of the Messiah. And he had this to say. He said, every valley shall be exalted when the Messiah comes, and every hill, every mountain made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The gospel today fulfills that prophecy very explicitly. The crooked woman was made straight again. She was able to stand up straight. And the exalted mountain of the synagogue ruler and the Pharisee was made low by being called out by Christ. The bent over woman, who was essentially the low valley, the one who was bound by Satan and pulled towards the ground, was raised up and exalted to the heavens because she met Christ. And when she met Christ, she met God. While the synagogue ruler, so rough and unforgiving, was leveled by Christ as with a carpenter's plane. He was leveled down because of his pride and his judgmentalism. And everyone saw it, as Isaiah said. Everyone saw the glory of God revealed. And those who saw it and who accepted Christ rejoiced. They went away rejoicing, the last verse of our gospel said today. They saw it and rejoiced. But those who rejected Christ, those whom St. Luke calls the adversaries of Christ, they were put to sway. They were put to shame. They went away sad and confused. And that's what it said in the gospel today. My brothers and sisters, during our nativity season, let us not get caught up in the things that our culture is going to throw at us over and over and over again, so that we are literally tied up, bound up, chained up, and pulled down as though we were an animal being pulled down to baser things. Let us not do that. Let us remember the words of St. Theophylact the Bulgarian, who says that every man indeed is bent over who is attached to the things of this earth. If we are bent over, we cannot see heaven when it comes to us in the form of the Christ child at Christmas. Let us stand upright, my brothers and sisters. Let us stand up and keep our eyes on Christ when he appears to us. And he will appear to us sometimes in the form of the homeless man on the street and the sick person and the person that we see who is bent over, whom we are often tempted to judge. Let us see Christ. Let him loose us from these chains and untie us from whatever it is that keeps us bent over and unable to love both him and our neighbor. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ.